All right, good morning. Today I'm going to be going through, the title of my message today is Fear Not, and it'll be coming from Romans 8:28. So if you'll be turning your Bibles to Romans 8:28, that's where this message will come from. So every day I think about Christ and His work. I think all true believers do every day. And I stand before you today as a sinner, and I know it. I'm absolutely no better than anyone else that walks this earth. And sometimes we share the gospel with people, and they hear me talking about the gospel. And sometimes people think, I believe that they think that I'm sharing with them a message that they don't know about, and they feel like I may feel like I have a higher knowledge than they do. And that's and the first thing I want to say is if that's the way I come across, I'm not planning to come across that way, and I apologize for that. That's never the way I set out to be or ever what I would want anyone to think. I'm just sharing a message that they've never heard before, and that's it. It's like listening to some foreign language for a lot of people. And to the unbeliever, it is absolutely an offensive message when they first hear it. And it's described in Scripture as the offense of the cross. And it will offend the non-believer. And who knows, when we talk to people and individuals as we get the opportunity about this gospel, about the true gospel, it could possibly be the only time that they ever hear it in their life. So we have to take that into consideration. But I'm still a sinner. The difference is that I'm a sinner saved by grace, saved by Christ's blood and His blood alone. And that's it. I'm not saved by some decision that I've made, by making a tithe, a baptism, or walking the aisle. They're saying a sinner's prayer. And many of you know that I'm an entrepreneur. Some of you don't, but I am. I own and I've owned multiple businesses throughout my life. And I'm still searching for the next deal or the next business that'll help me and my family with the financial burdens most of us face every day throughout this life. But here's the thing. When I die, I will take nothing with me. My body will be empty, and my soul will leave this body. And that's what all sinners will face. That's what all sinners will come to, the final day. They breathe their last breath. So this gospel is something that we should all invest time and thought into. Look into it. So the title of today's message is Fear Not. And I'll be coming from Romans 8, verse 28. It reads, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Today, the message I'm going to deliver is directed to Christ's sheep, the children of Christ. This message should be encouraging to those who believe, know, and love Christ. So this message should comfort you today. I want to assure you of the promises of God, which you have in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We need not fear. We all have fear in our lives. But what this gospel says is that we should not fear. Our Lord tells us in Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Don't be afraid of what others are doing around you. Don't be afraid of what tomorrow holds. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid. Fear not, I am with thee, is what God tells us. Here on earth, we all get anxious of the material things of this world. How are we going to pay for this or get that? Our health issues. And we will all want our own kids to have the best Christmas gifts. I'm guilty of it myself. I worry about how I can ever save up enough money to help my kids through college and buy cars, weddings, all the things of this world. But we don't need to fear those things. Look in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 34. It says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For you, Heavenly Father, knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Don't be anxious about these things. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." That sure is good news. God will supply all your need. And what does this wretched sinner need? I don't need loads of money. I don't need all these earthly possessions. When I lay down in that box, after I breathe my last breath, I will not take anything with me from this earth. So what do I need? I need a perfect substitute. I need a righteousness imputed. That's what I need. Nothing else. And that's what I have. A perfect, spotless Lamb of God standing in my place to take care of a sin debt that I can never get even close to reconciling with God. Listen to what Christ said in John 10:27-30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Do you understand what that means? Christ said his sheep will hear him, and he will know them. He will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And then he goes on to say that no one can take them from him. He says that he and the Father are one, and no one can take them from the Father. That's some good and comforting news for the believer. You are being kept by Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. In Philippians 1:6, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God has never left anything half done that he started. God has a plan, and he will execute it perfectly and fully. In Matthew 28:20, Christ said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We don't need to dread dying. If you ask 100 people what their biggest, deepest, and innermost fear is, I'll bet you 98 out of 100 people would say that they're afraid of dying. But listen to Psalm 116, verse 15. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Don't build your hope on your own faithfulness. We should build our hopes on God's faithfulness. God is faithful to his promises and to his word. And God's faithfulness to give His children eternal life will not fail. God's word in Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God said He does not change. That's His promise. His word will not ever change, and He will not change. The gifts of God are without change. Let's go back to Romans 8:28 again. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." When our God declared all things work together for good, He absolutely means all things. That includes things in time, past, present, and future, before the world, during the world, after the world, and eternity. All things. No exceptions. Listen, all things here on earth, in my life and in my death, work together for my good if I am one who loves God and who has been called according to His purpose. It doesn't matter if it's joy or sorrow. It doesn't matter if it's success or failure, plenty or poverty, sickness or health, life or death. And that's good news to a sinner saved by the blood of Christ. There is nothing that takes place in the life of a believer before he was born, after he was born, and during his life, or in every life that touches their life that is not for his eternal good. Listen, there are no accidents in this life. None. Everything that happens is on purpose. Every step is designed and purposed and ordered by God. God is not surprised by anything. Look at Psalms 37, 23 and 24. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." In Matthew 10:30, it says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." God reigns in everything. And we know that all things is what it says. And listen to this. It's all things without exception. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. They actively work together. The bad and the good. Poverty, plenty, success, failure, sickness, and health. They work together. Most of us here have children. Some are grown and gone out of the house. Some not. But listen to this. We discipline our children. We put certain rules and requirements on them. We think we know them. And we think we know what's best for them. We do what we think is best. Here's the difference. God doesn't think. He knows what's best for His children. He is infinite, sovereign Father. Romans 8:28 says, and I keep going back to this, "And we know that all things work together for good." What does the word good mean? When some people think of good, they're concerned only for the good, the feeling and the pleasure of the moment, right now. Some people may say they have a bad headache. Is that good? At the time of the headache, it's not good. But that's not what this is talking about. He's not talking about the good of the moment or the good of right now. When a lot of people think about things working for the good, they automatically think of the temporal things of this earth. And when I say temporal, I'm talking about our health, our wealth, jewelry, expensive cars, big houses, fine clothes, social and political problems we deal with. But these are temporal things. They will not ever help us eternally. These are the things of this world that we will instantly lose upon our death. This is my plea to you today. Please do not spend a lifetime chasing these temporal things they do not last. God the Father, God the Creator, has never promised His children that all things would work together for our present good and our good temporarily. But I'll tell you what He does promise. He promises that all things are ordered and purposed by Him for our spiritual good and our eternal good. God's children have an eternal life. We will be here on earth for just a brief moment. And I'll try to put that into some perspective. Think about this. Our time here on earth is like a grain of sand on the beach that spreads for miles and miles. One grain of sand on the beach. It's like a drop of water in the ocean. Think about that. One drop of water in the ocean. We are here for just a moment. These temporary sorrows and tribulations we face in this life are nothing. They are not worthy to even be compared with the eternal glory that we will spend. So fear not. I want to be found in Christ. I want to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to have eternal life. I want to be the means to share this gospel. I want to preach the gospel, share this word. I want to be made like Christ. That's what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, whatever God is pleased to bring into my life or your life, then so be it. Whatever life requires or whatever it takes to bring me to Christ, then it's absolutely worth it. Whatever it takes to bring me to glory, it is worth it. Whatever it takes or whatever God has to do to break me, humble me, bring me to faith, or set His seal upon me, then so be it. It will all be according to His purpose. Anything that takes our focus away from Christ is not good. And whatever brings us to Christ is good. And here is the key to this. To whom is that promise given? Go back to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And here it is. Who is this promise made to? To them who are called according to His purpose. This promise is given to those who love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. Not for those who don't love God. Not to those who weren't called by God. A true believer loves God. He loves the true and living God. He loves God the Father. He loves this Word, and he loves Christ. The true believer loves the redemption that Christ provided with His life and His death. Why does the believer love God? The reason is because God loved him first. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us first and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In Psalm 42:1, David said, "As the hart," and a hart is a deer. So it says, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." He was thirsting after the true and living God. These are the same people that he's talking about, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What does called according to his purpose mean? The answer is described in the next verse, and this is one key to it all. It says, "For whom he foreknew." Listen to this, and this is the key. We did not choose Christ. He chose us. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Almighty God has decreed, designed, and determined that all whom he chose and all whom he redeemed will be just like Christ, in whom he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, he called, one day, by his word, and by His Spirit. He called us out of darkness into the light, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His Son. He justified us by His blood. He forgave us of all our sins. He pardoned us and gave us eternal life. He justified us and made us righteous by His blood. Whom He justified, He glorified. Now what shall we say to these things? Well, I say this, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Isn't that comforting? I sure hope that it's a comforting message. If you're a true believer that has been washed in His blood, there is no other message that will do. With Christ being crucified, there is hope for all who believe. There is no hope without Christ doing His job. Without Christ completing the work of redemption and satisfying God the Father, there's no hope. We have hope in Christ. John 20:31 says, "But these are written, that ye might believe that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have a life through His name." Jew or Gentile, bond or free, old or young, whoever you are or wherever you are, whatever your sins are, Christ is the Savior of sinners. His death on the cross is the only way to justify and satisfy a holy God. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Christ's death is salvation. It should comfort the saved sinner. It is the finishing of the work. He is the only ultimate Savior. He is the only Redeemer and the only suitable substitute. Without Christ, we have no hope. Without Christ, we are all terminally ill. But fear not, for if Christ died for you and washed away your sins, you are in good standing for all of eternity. Christ did the work. He finished the job. He made the atonement. He made that final payment. And there is nothing to be afraid of. Amen.